Now, verse 11, doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter water? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain yield both salt water and fresh. In other words, a man can be two-faced. He can be double-minded and a forked-tongued individual. He can say good and bad. But no fountain down here is going to give forth both sweet and bitter. And a tree won't bear figs and olives. I don't know whether you could bud one on the other or not, but it would have to be an unnatural growth. But some people, they've been grafted, and graft is a good word, by the way, for them. They can praise God on Sunday. Now, the tongue reveals genuine faith, by the way, because with the mouth, confession is made of that which is in the heart. Verse 13, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you, let him show out of a good life his works with meekness and wisdom. You see, the tongue can reveal genuine faith. It can give a testimony for God. It can speak wisdom. Now, verse 14, but if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Now, strife and bitterness are not the fruits of faith at all. And the tongue, you see, can stir that sort of thing up. And he's making now a contrast between what the tongue does and the tongue of even a foolish believer and the tongue of a wise believer. In fact, an uncontrolled tongue today raises the question in any man's mind of whether he's a child of God or not. You can't make me believe that you can cuss 6 days of the week and then sing in the choir on Sunday. I don't think you can. You can't tell dirty jokes and then teach a Sunday school class and tell about the love of Jesus on Sunday. That tongue you've got, my friend, can do either one. But if it does both, it is that which stirs up strife. And we're told here, lie not against the truth. And a lying tongue is one that denies the Lord during the week by its conversation. Now, verse 15, he says, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, demoniacal. Now, in other words, what he's making here very clear is, these things do not originate from God. And it comes not from him at all. It's earthly, it's sensual, and it's demoniacal. You know, knowledge is proud that she's learned so much. Wisdom is humble that she knows no more. The wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demoniacal. You see, for where envying and strife are, there is confusion and every evil work. And we're going to deal with this in the next chapter because he's going to define to us what worldliness really is and what a shock that's going to be to a lot of people. Verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above, it's first pure. It's not mingled a mix. It's no mixture. It's pure. It's the original. Then peaceable. And actually, the thought is that out from the pure comes peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. These are verses that do not need very much elucidation at all. Dr. Samuel Zwamer mentions the fact that false teaching always produces strife and envy and trouble. He said this, you cannot explain the wickedness of the world as merely human. It is human plus something. And that is why non-Christian religions are successful. They are supernatural, but from beneath. And anything that causes division and strife, and I don't care whose church it's in, it's not of the Lord. You may be sure of that. And you may boast of fundamentalism, but if you're causing strife, I want to tell you, you got up the wrong flag. Now he says the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by them that make peace.